Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, another Marriott customer who claimed to have been Bonvoyed has sued the hotel chain over undisclosed resort fees. And you can get a free pass to California State Parks for the rest of the year if you act today.
Wow, connecting times at hub airports are always up for discussion. We have a couple of tips to help you make those tight connections, or perhaps wait a bit and save some real dollars. That's in our Smarter Traveler segment at 11:22.
Odds and Ends at 11:35 features the five most annoying behaviors on planes by your fellow passengers. Wonder what that list could be. And we take a look at the evolution of stewardesses to flight attendants.
We are still 2 weeks from the opening of the California State Fair, and it's time for our annual preview. What's new and interesting on the Midway? We have an update at 11:45.
Dazzling, informative, educational, bizarre, strange, unusual. What do those words have in common? I have no idea, but hopefully I got your attention just long enough to welcome you to this week's edition of The Travel Guys.
On the road again. I've been everywhere.
Hey, Paul, if you can keep
to Vega, solo Seattle.
Get your kicks on Route 66.
Let's go on with the show.
Hey there, my friends. Welcome to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. I must have to start off with a happy 4th of July. The Rancho Cordova 4th of July parade ought to be, gosh, partly done.
Yeah.
Normally I'm there, but today I'm here. Mark, you ever go to the 4th of July parade thing at
No,
Rancho?
But on the way to my office this morning here to the studio to hook up with you to do the Travel Guys, I was just a little bit later leaving home than I had expected to be, and it was about 9:30, and already they were closing off Coloma, and gosh, there were people walking from everywhere, decorated in all kinds of 4th of July regalia. I had never seen the pre-parade thing, and I've never watched the parade itself, but I there were hundreds of people. I got up as close as I could there, and then I had to take the detour. But man, there's a lot of people. What a cool thing. Is there anything like that in other communities? Does Citrus Heights or anybody else do anything?
Yeah,
like that?
You know, all of Sacramento and little pocket areas, Elk Grove and so forth, Citrus Heights, they have similar things, but the Rancho one is this, I do believe, the city's largest, and has been now for quite some time. Last 2 days, it was last night and today. They have a carnival, the whole nine yards. It's gotten to the point where really, I think in some ways, and there's no, I don't know what you do about this, it's almost gotten too big. Because they are now to the point where the streets around the park area used to be accessible. You could drive down and drop people off and find parking in the residential area. Well, this year they blocked it off and they said permits only.
Yeah.
For the people who live in the area. So
one smart guy from one of the churches across the street from the high school there was, I don't know if he was with the church or if he just was an enterprising guy. He had set up a sign, $10 cash parking.
There's cash parking at the school, at Mills, at the junior high. There's cash parking there. And so, yeah, it's a pretty big deal.
Here we are in the middle of a huge metropolis, you know, I mean, this is what, the 18th largest market in the country or something like that, 25th largest city. And yet it really felt this morning, felt like small town. I mean, I felt like I was driving down one of the Route 66 main streets and here were all these people gathering for a community event. So good for the folks in Cordova who, what a massive project that must be. But it really does feel, whatever they are shooting for, in my opinion, they got it.
Yeah, I agree.
Hey, I want to mention one other thing here. I got a text just before our program started, and road reporter Clayton Whitehead is in Lithuania with a group of sports leisure travelers, and he sent me a text to say that he was listening to the program, awaiting the program to start. So we are not only live in Sacramento, but we are live this morning in Lithuania on the 250th birthday of these United States.
Wow. All right. Okay. We got a lot to cover today. Great show ahead, folks. Stick around. At the top of every Travel Guys radio program, we bring you up to date on what's going on in the travel news.
I was just waiting for your cue. There was all.
Oh, time for the travel news.
Usually you say, and now with the travel news, here's Mark. And
so I forgot that guy. Yeah, well, okay. With travel news, once again, here's Mark. I thought we were having a technical difficulty.
It would be 11:59, and we'd still be staring at each other. The new soup of the day at cruise lines is fights in the boarding area before or after getting on the ship. One occurred in a Florida port a couple of weeks ago, and then they had another one in Miami last week. A dozen people were banned. These were folks who were getting off the ship, and apparently it was two families. So I don't know if they had a bone to pick from something that happened on the ship, or they just got into it afterwards, but fists were thrown. And it's really interesting to watch some of the videos online. Somebody is filming it. And here these people are just taking haymakers at each other. I mean, they're going at it. And 20 feet away, people are just getting off the ship and walking by like nothing's happening. But anyways, I'm not sure what caused it. The incident was deemed a mutual combatant incident. You would have thought early in the morning when they were getting off the ship, people hadn't been drinking or anything. But anyways, that's the new. It's happened twice in the last couple of weeks. The Delta CEO says he knows why airfare is so high. He says it's air traffic control's fault.
Oh, of course.
Yes, because he says there are not enough air traffic controllers. And if there were more controllers, there would be more planes in the sky and fares would be lower. I'm not sure where he gets the gates at LaGuardia, O'Hare, San Francisco, LAX, DFW, Charlotte, etc., to accommodate those extra aircraft. But he says the reason that he's full of BS, basically. He says that the reason airfares are so high is because we don't have enough air traffic controllers, and therefore we don't have enough planes and enough competition. And if you would just fix all of that, that airfares would be lower. And that's the reason that airfares went up 27% this spring and have not gone down but a couple of percent. And I repeat what I said last week to the airlines. We're waiting. The price is at the pump now, and some places are down to $4.99 here in California, which is, for us, is about 20% lower than they were at the peak here, 10 to 15, 20% lower. So we're still waiting on the airfares to go a little bit lower. Perhaps, maybe not. Here's kind of a cool thing. We've had these folks on the air with us before. This is the American River Conservancies. They do concerts in the summer. This is the fourth year in a row that they've done it. And it's at Wakamatsu Farm in Placerville. Mm-hmm. And you can go there. There's a July one. There's an August one. You can go online. I believe I put the link online, American River Conservancies, Concerts for a Cause. So if you are somebody who cares about the environment and enjoys an afternoon of good music up in the Placerville area, what a great place to go in a summer evening. Gates open at 5:30. There's a show on July the 11th, so next Saturday night, and then another one in August. Marriott Hotels has been hit again. Another one of their travelers have hit them with a suit over the resort and destination fees that they charge. In this case, it's not because of a paid stay. And I went online. I'm a Marriott Bonvoy guy. This guy is absolutely right. The website doesn't tell you that you're going to pay a $20, $30, $40, $50, $60 resort, destination, amenity, whatever they call it, fee, even on a point stay, until you get to the final screen and it says, okay, you don't owe us any money for this. Oh, wait a minute. We forgot about this fee here, and you owe us $40 a night times four nights, so you owe us $160. So this guy is saying, you know, that's against the law. You have to, that's drip pricing. You have to tell me that you're charging me these $40 a night, even on an awards day up front. So he's suing Marriott. And since people have had some success with this, my guess is that he may have some success with his suit also. Big event in New York City yesterday.
My daddy married in the morning. Ding dong, the bells gonna chime.
Taylor Swift and her crowd rented Madison Square Garden yesterday. I'm sure that everybody on the planet is aware of this. Only reason I mentioned it on the Travel Guys is because something like this would normally be a huge lift economically to a destination. But they kept this so quiet, it wasn't until Tuesday that word got out that she had rented Madison Square Garden for 3 days over the weekend. And then it kind of went from there. And of course, as everybody knows by now, Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce got married yesterday in Madison Square Garden. But it was a fairly big secret. Crowds outside the garden only numbered in the hundreds. Even though New York City had blocked off, well, they did basically what they did when the Knicks won the NBA championship.
Yeah.
They were prepared for that type of situation. And some people were saying earlier in the week, well, you know, thousands of people are going to come in. They're going to spend tons of money. This is really mm-hmm. going to have a huge economic impact on New York City. Taylor Swift getting married. Not so much. They kept it kind of quiet. Wasn't until last night about 7:30 Eastern time that it suddenly the message boards outside the garden announced that that they had been married. So anyway, congratulations to Taylor and Travis, America's royal wedding. Japan is really a popular destination right now, and so popular that they're starting to have some crowding issues with tourism. So Japan is taking advantage of that opportunity. When demand exceeds supply, prices should go up. And that's what's happening in Japan. Japan is raising visa fees by 400%. This is the first time they've raised them in nearly 50 years. They're also raising their departure taxes. This is not going to cost you a tremendous amount of money, but it's going to cost you about $90 more to leave Japan than it cost you before. Japan just says that there are so many people coming here, and the cost of processing these people has exceeded the money that they're collecting. So they're coming back to get some more money. If you're going to Japan, it's going to cost you a few more dollars. And if you have a Clear membership, speaking of it costing you a few more dollars, Clear prices are going up again. Clear is the thing. If you don't have TSA PreCheck, or even if you do at the airport, many major airports have a Clear lane, which is a service that many people subscribe to. Or if you have certain credit cards or status with airlines, you can get it for free or at a discount. I've gotten it at a discount from United Airlines for the last couple of years, but that discount is going away. And now that TSA has the touchless pass-through that you can sign up for that we've talked about here on the program, I'm not sure I see the need to pay Clear $100 to $200, depending on what kind of a discount and what kind of credit card you have. Just for a little bit of a line cut, seems to me like the touchless TSA line is pretty much non-existent. You walk up and walk through. So that would be my wisdom to you. If you have Clear, this upcoming membership price increase, you might want to take a look at the possibility. Now remember, if you have a Clear membership, those are generally automatic renewal. So you need to go online, find your Clear account, find out when it renews, and check off the automatic renewal box so that you're not renewed automatically when your time comes up. But anyway, it's going to cost you a little bit more money if you are a Clear person. Ticketmaster, this has been quite the controversy. Ticket sellers and resellers in the state, of course, people like Live Nation and Ticketmaster and this stuff sell concert tickets. But they don't control the resale market. And there's been a lot of discussion about what's fair and what's not fair to concert goers. And so legislation has been introduced in the state, a couple of bills to try to clean that up. However, people who oppose the bills say that these bills were basically written by the ticket sellers themselves and that wow. they only exasperate the situation. They do not clear it up. They give the people like Live Nation and Ticketmaster more control of the secondary ticket market, which means if they have more control of the secondary ticket market, then they have more control, period. And that's not going to be beneficial for people who want to go. They want to be able to really control who you sell, resell tickets to and how you sell them. And, you know, I kind of feel like, gosh, if I bought a couple tickets to a ball game and I can't go and I want to lean over the back fence and sell them, give them whatever to my next door neighbor, that should be my business. And what he pays right. me for them should be his business. And that doesn't really have too much to do with the government or anything else. But what we need to see is access, fair access to ticket pricing, because these folks are controlling. And I don't have to tell people who regularly buy tickets to concerts and sporting events and stuff like that. We've seen huge increases over the in recent years in those prices, and the secondary markets tend to support that. So anyway, there are two Ticketmaster bills before the California legislature, and on a number of places online, including the Ticket Policy Forum, which admittedly is opposed to these bills. So it's only one side of the story. But if you go online and you read some of this, you may feel as a concert goer or ticket buyer that it's something that you might want to weigh in on at some point along the way. California is giving a free pass to 30 historic state parks for this summer. I just found out about this yesterday. You can only get the free pass through the 6th. Today is the 4th. So you have 2 days. We tried to get a shot at this online. So you can go to Travel Guys Radio and see if there's a link there. I should have checked before the show. I'll check during the break. And if there isn't, just go to Google and type in California State Park free pass, and that will make it come up. You have to go in and act like you have to sign up for a pass, and then instead of charging you for it, it will designate it as free. You can get into 30 historic parks, and it's good for the rest of the year. So if you're a person who enjoys history, this, and in addition to admissions, some of these historic sites that are in spots where there isn't a whole lot of extra room have parking fees and stuff like this, and this pass will also negate those fees. It will cover any parking fees, any admission charges, anything like that. So if you're a state park fan, TravelGuysRadio.com or California State Parks free pass. It is only available through the 6th of this month, and it's good for the rest of the year. And finally, a little trivia note here. On our country's 250th birthday, Tom, did you know? I didn't know this. The Liberty Bell is tapped 13 times every July 4th. Did you know that?
No, I did not do that. It's tapped 13 times?
Tapped every year on July 4th, descendants of the Declaration of Independence signers tap the Liberty Bell 13 times. The tradition, of course, was created as a way to honor the original 13 colonies.
13 colonies, yeah.
So how cool is that?
That's very cool. Is that an official ringing of the bell? They just don't want to ring it, might crack it.
It's an official tapping. Well, it's already cracked.
Yes, already cracked.
You've got to be careful.
Tap it with a little tiny hammer.
Kind of reminds me of some radio hosts I know. They're already a little bit cracked, so handle with care. Anyway, that is your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys, Mark and Tom. Remember, check us out at TravelGuysRadio.com. Links to the stories and such that we talked about can be found right there. All right, coming up, we're going to talk about those connecting times at hub airports. Always a problem. We're going to give you some tips on how to make life a little easier when you got short turnarounds, and even ways to save you a few bucks along the way. That's all coming up here on this 4th of July version of the Travel Guys. Happy 4th of July, live and in living radio, right here in Sacramento, Rancho Cordova. Thanks for coming along. Hope you have some safe and sane plans. And stay away from those illegal fireworks, Mark, okay?
Yes, sir. You know, we were talking about Cordova having a big thing. I went up to see a movie in El Dorado Hills last night, and there was also a big fireworks. Apparently, it was on last night.
Yeah.
Because folks were gathering up there by the ton load. So, friend and
Who'd
I went
to see?
You're not going to believe this. A friend and I went to go see the new Minions movie.
Oh, you lucky guy.
I had never seen one before. And This good friend of mine, she really enjoys the Minions, so we went out and saw the Minions movie last night. And did you know that, who would have known that July 3rd at 5 o'clock was the perfect time to go see a movie?
Excellent, excellent.
There was almost nobody. When we came out, there was 80 gazillion people, and we made somebody very happy by leaving a parking place there, a prime parking spot. But anyway, fireworks in Cordova, fireworks up in El Dorado Hills. There will be fireworks everywhere tonight.
Yeah. Tonight, supposedly, as advertised, the world's largest fireworks display ever. Going to be in, in Washington or New York?
It's Washington. Yeah, it depends on who you believe, I guess, as to what is big. I saw one in Louisville a couple of years ago, Thunder over Louisville, which is the kickoff
that's big.
For the Kentucky Derby Festival, is held in April.
Yeah.
And that's the one where on the Ohio, I think it's the Ohio River, the river bends there in Louisville, and they actually set off two fireworks displays concurrently that are the same display. So no matter if you happen to be in the middle, you can look left or look right and see the same thing in two different places. But that was really a spectacular fireworks display, so I can't even imagine something more over the top. But anyway, if you're going out tonight to see fireworks, be careful. Don't drink too much, especially if you have to drive back home afterwards, because there will be lots of little ones and stuff like that out after dark, so be careful. We're going to talk a little bit today about, give you some ideas. We talk about connecting flights from time to time, and that's always a challenge when you're traveling. And, you know, the airline's job is to land as many planes as possible in about a 30-minute window, wait 30 to 60 minutes, and then have all those planes take off again, going to different places. And all of those thousands of people get off of those incoming aircraft and scoot through the terminal and get on the outbound aircraft. And if the weather is good and everything goes the way it's supposed to, you're on your way. Doesn't always work that way. Sometimes the airlines sabotage you by creating too short of a layover time in too big of an airport. If you've ever changed planes with United in Denver, they're on three different concourses. So the chances are that you might get there and you come into an A gate and you have to go to a B gate. It means you have to go downstairs. You have to go to the center of the terminal, go downstairs, catch a train, go upstairs, and then get to your gate on the other side. Even if your gate is close to the downstairs on both sides, it's going to take you 20 minutes minimum to do that. If you move a little slower, and you're not as familiar with where you're going, it may take you a little more than that. Heaven forbid that you needed a restroom, or that you took the 5 o'clock flight in the morning and you got up at 2:30 and you haven't had anything to eat yet, and you're hypoglycemic or something like that, and you absolutely have to get something to eat. Hopefully you've planned for that. But airlines are known for, I saw one the other day for a group, they were offering us a 45-minute connection on Southwest in Las Vegas. Now, Southwest has a lot of gates in Las Vegas. If you're in the back of the plane, remember, the arrival time is not when you're getting off the aircraft.
Right.
Figure, even if the plane pulls up to the gate and they open the door exactly on time, figure what, Tom, 10, 12 minutes probably?
At least, yeah. And then that's on a good day.
So, and then you've got to get to your gate, to your connecting gate. And of course, they're going to start boarding 30, 35, 40 minutes in advance. So, and if you've got stuff to put in the overhead or whatever, or you're traveling with grandma and she doesn't walk quite as fast, here's a thought. If grandma doesn't walk quite as fast, then get grandma some assistance in the airport. Order a wheelchair, because the plane on the other end, the departing plane, if they know that passenger is on the ground and en route to the gate, they're not supposed to close the door. They're supposed to wait for a disabled passenger who is en route and they know is going to be there soon. So that's a little bit of a safety net if you're traveling with somebody who needs that little extra time in boarding. Here's a couple of ideas of things to do about this. One is the airlines now sell seats in the front of the plane, of course, first class, and then behind that are the extra legroom seats, and behind that in the middle of the plane are what they call preferred seats. And I like to say the reason they call them preferred is they're for people who prefer not to sit in the back. But it gets you another 10 or 15 rows closer to the front of the aircraft and gets you a seating assignment. So if you look on your on your flight itinerary and you see, wow, this is a 49-minute connection, then my recommendation to you is seriously consider upgrading your seat at least a little bit to get up to that middle part of the plane, because even that 4 or 5 minutes might make a huge difference. Here's another thing that you can do with short layovers. Last week, I'm looking for a round-trip flight to Rapid City from Sacramento. And you go through United through Denver, and there are a lot, or you could go Delta through Salt Lake City. There are lots of choices and lots of small planes that go up to Rapid City. So if I wanted, coming home, if I wanted a connection that was 80 minutes, an hour and 10 minutes, the flight was, let's say, $900. But if I wanted to wait 3 hours and connect in Denver, the flight price dropped to $720.
Mm-hmm.
So for an extra 80 minutes of my time, I made $180. Now, I don't know about you, but that's like $125 an hour or something like that. Unless I really needed to be home at a certain time, that would be a viable option. It eliminates the tight connection, you know. And another thing about tight connections, what if your plane's 20 minutes late? So it eliminates the tight connection and it saves you money. So when you are shopping for flights online and you see those charts there, don't automatically gravitate to the best connection, especially if it's a little bit tight. Keep looking and see that, oh, wait a minute, here 2 hours later or an hour and a half later is another connection, and oh my goodness, it's cheaper, sometimes significantly cheaper. So be a smarter traveler and kill that tight layover problem by not only looking for considering a seat that you can upgrade a little bit to that doesn't cost you too much money, but also look at the possibility of taking a longer layover, which might indeed save you a significant amount of cash.
There you go. And you heard it here on the Travel Guys. You're going to hear up next the five most annoying behaviors that people do on airplanes. I don't know. That's next, along with the Sports Leisure Update. Stick around. We are the Travel Guys.
We're going places with that Sports Leisure flair. A world of adventure, and we take you there.
November is generally not a month that people head out to travel in, especially if you live in California. But Sports Leisure Vacations has a couple of trips in November I want to make you aware of. The first one is Thanksgiving in New York City, the opportunity to see shows on Broadway, see the Rockettes at Radio City Music Hall, only a couple of seats left for that one, and another Thanksgiving trip, going down to the Mission Inn in Riverside, which is known for its lights, millions and millions of lights. You'll be staying at the Mission Inn, two-night trip, November 25th through the 27th. Again, just a few seats available. If you're looking for something to do for Thanksgiving, give us a call at Sports Leisure Vacations at 916-361-2051 or check us out at sportsleisure.com.
Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys. I meant to ask Anthony earlier, but I missed it. So before we move on real quick, Anthony, young man like you here, it's a 4th of July weekend. You're working. You got plans for tonight?
Yeah, right after this, I'm going to go see the Kings Summer League. First game that Darius Acuff Jr. is going to be playing. I'm very excited. So heading to Golden 1 Center for that. Then the A's play. I will not be going to that game, but I will be hanging out nearby to watch the fireworks.
You're gonna
mooch the fireworks. Is that what I'm? What
yep,
I'm hearing?
I'm hanging out outside. I'm seeing them, and then I'm going home. Too expensive for me.
There you go. You know, if you leave the arena and you walk up to Capitol Avenue, and it's got the big long open strip that looks right up the street and over the bridge. Great place to see the fireworks right there.
Absolutely, I'll be staying nearby.
Hey, a lot of people are going to be taking pictures of fireworks tonight, Tom. And if you go to travelguysradio.com under the listings for today's show, highlights for today's show, there is a Travelers United article, 18 top tips to shoot stunning July 4th fireworks by camera or smartphone. So if you're going to take pictures tonight, you might want to go there and maybe you'll pick up something that'll help you have better pictures.
Very good. Very good. Right there at travelguysradio.com. Mark, last week, I think it was, we were talking about Hidden Valley ranch dressing, or just ranch dressing in general. I understand you have an update.
Well, Yeah, if you're following the story, folks who have come over here from all over the planet for the World Cup have the biggest hit, the take-home so far has been ranch dressing. And, of course, with TSA, you can't take a bottle of ranch dressing home in your carry-on luggage. You'd have to put it in your checked luggage. And heaven forbid, if it was a plastic bottle, I guess, okay. But anyways, here is an update. This comes from Boston. This is written by a gentleman named Noah White. He says, over the last week, they say, Logan International Airport's Terminal E has served as host to a dealer of sorts. As travelers hustle through the security checkpoint, they pass a man with a suitcase. And for the jersey-clad among them, leaving the country on the heels of their favorite team's World Cup exits, what that suitcase beholds is worth stopping for. He had a sign that said, buy ranch packets here, said one traveler, who noticed the vendor when he arrived at Logan from Munich last week. I didn't even know what a ranch packet was then, but after being here for a week, I'm going to buy him out. So yes, cheesecakes and wings find new fans, as do a New York slice and an oily paper bag of Five Guys fries. But at the edge of each table, what barely registers in the American mind has become both the symbol of U.S. consumption and the hottest commodity in a visitor's possession, ranch dressing. The scenes are jarring. A group of England-jerseyed supporters strutting onto the New York subway, each with a Hidden Valley bottle in hand. A Panama fan chugging a handle of ranch before entering Newark International Airport after his team's loss. And a German man, blissfully unaware how quickly his beloved team would send him back to his pathetic ranchless existence, bragging about his Hidden Valley bottle count. I've consumed probably three bottles of ranch dressing this week, said one fan. I've had more bottles of ranch dressing than I've been to games. I drank it straight from the bottle this morning. That's a common misconception among Americans, he said, viewing ranch as a condiment. If we had this stuff back home, he continued, I would generally never stop eating it, drinking it, showering in it. It'd be an addiction. For a Paraguayan couple in Los Angeles to see their countrymen during group play, it all began when they asked for a salad in Hollywood. They asked if we preferred ranch or Caesar. 10 minutes later, their leaves were coated with dairy. They stared for a bit, wondering whether it was yogurt. Having in and outed themselves to their gut's demise, they decided to press forward. At the end of the meal, Jose said, he was looking at deals on Hidden Valley on Amazon. Upon digging a bit deeper, he learned that one of his supermarkets back home carries it, although in small quantities. Many other visitors don't find the same success. Americans are significantly more dairy-prone than the rest of the planet. In that sense, ranch is a fitting representative to the American food stereotype, dairy-laden and typically a means to elevate other food. In turn, European cuisine hasn't adopted it. I thought it was kind of a tartar sauce deal at first, said one traveler. He doesn't believe he's ever seen ranch on a store shelf in Munich where he lives. Oil. You put oil on your salad in Europe and you suck it up. The World Cup, then, in all its melting pot power, could be a leaping off point for ranch dressing. Hidden Valley, one of the leading ranch dressing producers, has begun setting up pop-up shops outside games. Another producer, Kraft, is looking into a TSA-compliant option, we told you about this last week, to sell the dressing in individual packets. So there you go, a little bit of an update on the ranch dressing craze.
Wow, that's something else. Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, these people are just getting introduced to ranch dressing on their salads. Wait till they figure out or pay attention to the fact that Americans love to dip their pizza in ranch dressing. And then come the French fries. You know, there's really no standard when it comes to ranch dressing. Could you take one of those little packets? Would that be legal to carry on in your carry-on?
Yes, less than 4 ounces, 3.8 ounces, something like that. Yes, the Europeans are fascinated with us also in dipping stuff into things. And they can't figure out ketchup. Because if you've been to Europe, you know that for French fries, you dip your French fries in mayonnaise in Europe. And that's just like the most disgusting idea I've ever heard. But but I'm not a mayonnaise guy to start with. I'm from the Midwest. So our idea of mayonnaise, those of us from the Midwest, is this concoction called Miracle Whip.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And you know, back in my family, we were all from the Midwest, and as we migrated to the West Coast, there was always the big discussion, you know, was it Miracle Whip or mayonnaise? So most of the old Miracle Whip people are Midwesterners.
Yeah, well, Miracle Whip has that that kind of a little sweet background flavor to it.
Which is the
point, which makes it good in itself. Well, thanks for the update on the ranch dressing. Definitely almost fits into the travel category.
Just about almost. Yeah. Well, it's people trying to get out of the country with it. So, 5 most annoying behaviors identified in a survey. This was on Reddit. 5 most annoying behaviors on airplanes. I'll give you an open shot, Tom. What do you think?
Well, let's see. 5 most annoying. Number 1 is people who bring an onion sandwich or stinky food on board.
Yes, that's definitely on the list.
And touching flight attendants.
That's not on this list of 5, but as we know, that can go some very bad places. You are right. Eating pungent or foul smelling food, just don't bring it on the plane. If your wife says that's stinky, then don't bring it on the airplane.
You got it. Yeah, yeah.
Eat it in the terminal, or wait till you get home, or you know, get something that's not so stinky.
Taking your shoes off.
Smells from poor hygiene or excessive perfume, I would think, would fit into that category.
Okay.
Inattentive parroting. You know,
oh, yeah.
Letting your kids run wild through the aircraft, or the other one on the list, which is probably to the kids also, kicking the back of your seat. And finally, drunk and disruptive behavior, which, of course, is becoming. So kicking the seat, disruptive behavior, smells from poor hygiene or excessive perfume.
There you go. The big 5, my friends. You heard it here first.
If you're flying, don't use that really stinky aftershave or perfume or whatever, because the whole world is going to have to share it. And who knows who has a sensitivity to certain smells or things like that. So just don't do it. Just, you know, put on that nice deodorant that makes you smell like nothing.
There you go. Yes. Yeah. You know when you smell it, when you start sneezing.
Yes, or when people are starting to wave, that's probably bad. You know, you have to think about the fact, and I know a lot of people don't do this, but you're getting into a really small space with a lot of other people, and so whatever everybody brings, everybody is going to experience. So, you know, don't bring things that, even if they smell good to you, they might not smell good to everybody else. Okay, one other quick little thing here. We were talking about flight attendants versus stewardesses. Did you know that women back in the 60s, if you wanted to be a flight attendant, you could not be taller than 5'4". You could not be older than 25. And then they changed it to allow 21 to 27-year-olds. Wow, ancient. You had to be unmarried with no children. In 1968, United's qualification list said you had to be between 5'2 and 5'9 to be able to. And of course, none of those things apply today. The ad says the glamorous life of a stewardess. They were stewardesses until what? The 90s, maybe, when they became flight attendants?
Yeah. My how things change, huh?
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting here. I have an old United ad advertising for stewardesses. And gosh, if you got on a plane today and you mentioned the word stewardess, you'd probably get slapped or thrown off the plane or have something thrown at you or something like that. But anyways, the differences between then and now there are no height restrictions. Some airlines have weight restrictions, some do not. So, I mean, it's an aisle of an airplane. So if you're too tall or too wide, why then, you know, that's going to make it harder for you to do your job. But remember, right, Tom? Don't touch the flight attendant.
Darn right. And don't touch the stewardesses either.
Yeah, don't touch either one of them. All right, we're going to take another break. When we come back, Tom is going to have an update for us on the California State Fair. It's opening up in 2 weeks, the Cal Expo. That's next on the Travel Guys.
Hey there, it's Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. I'm Tom Romano. Mark is on special assignment, so it's my privilege to spend a little while with Darla Gibbons, media director for the California State Fair, because it is State Fair time once again. Darla, welcome to the Travel.
Hey there. It's so hard to believe that the fair rolls around here so quickly every year, but we're so excited for this year's fair, and we wish you were here to come and just make those memories.
That's the slogan. That's the theme this year is the wish you were here. I like that.
Yeah, we're looking at it as if you're going on a trip. If you look at our artwork and our commercial, it looks like a postcard. So the stamps that we have, we're actually going to have a limited number of stamps that we're going to have a sticker drop every day. So you can come every single day and get your sticker for the day and enjoy everything that we have here.
Cool. Like a little passport. Okay, let's.
Yes, exactly.
There you go. Let's start at the top. Let's tell folks, first of all, the dates of the State Fair this year, and then let's jump into what's new.
That's right. So this year we're opening the gates on Friday, July 17th, and it runs through August 2nd. And something new this year that we're actually working on right now is the California's First People's Art Showcase. And it's featuring and celebrating the rich artistic traditions and cultural heritage of living history of the California's Native American tribes from across the state. So we're going to have things like a tule boat, a bark house, baskets that are woven by hand and that they're actually used by our Native American tribes here.
Now, in fact, before we went on the air, you were talking that California State Fair is actually on tribal land. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yes, that's right. So we are on tribal land here. That was discovered several years back. And we're actually doing on opening day a mini program that celebrates the history here. We're going to have a land acknowledgement ceremony, a dance, a song, a prayer. So we want to acknowledge and pay respect for the people who were here before we were. So we just want to pay homage to our people here.
Well, let's take a look at a couple of things that people always come to the State Fair for that will be there for them again this year.
Corn dogs. Fair food, of course, is a big hit. But another thing that we're doing, we're investing in our concert lineup, our Toyota concert series on our Sky River Casino stage. We have opening night on July 17th with Babyface. And Tower of Power wraps us up on that opening weekend. And then we have everything in between. We have Struggle Jennings coming on Monday, the 20th, Midland. We have four different country artists coming, including Lee Bryce and Trace Atkins. We have Ja Rule, Casey and the Sunshine Band, a big popular favorite as well.
Sure.
Queen Nation. It's a tribute band to Queen, and mm-hmm. you think you're looking at the actual Queen members as they take the stage.
I saw them last year, and they were spectacular. Oh, yeah. They really were.
Amazing. Yeah, we have Boyz II Men, Keith Sweat, War, Yacht Rock Review, and if you're a Deadhead, Dark Star Orchestra is coming as well.
Now, once again, we're talking with Darla Gibbons, media director for the California State Fair, and Darla, With the horse racing going away at the grounds there where the horse racing was, is there anything being purposed in that area this year?
Yes, we're having monster trucks. That's July 25th and 26th. And then we also have truck and tractor pulls. So if you have little kids and big boys who love noise and big trucks, this is going to be the thing for them those weekends. So we have something for everybody. And then we also have Pride Day at the California State Fair. So we're going to have our bingo, drag queen bingo in the clubhouse, as well as a disco in the clubhouse.
With all of that being said, let's talk about how and where can people, what can people do to make the California State Fair affordable?
That's right. We have so many different ways for you to save. Right now we have our Costco pack, Wish You Were Here pack, for sale. You get two admission tickets, two $5 food scripts, a parking pass, and you can get those at any participating Costco's. Also, Save Mart, you can get discount tickets and carnival ride wristbands at any Save Mart, not only before the fair, but during the fair as well. That's the only place that you can get savings during the fair. And right now we also offer our Family Fun Pack. You get four admission tickets, a parking pass, four ride or monorail tickets, and that is $54.99. But you can get that only until July 16th at 11:59. Before fair, you can get that. And one thing I wanted to mention also, Tom, is the first weekend of fair, we have Disneyland Resort's Kids Rule Summer Takeover. So it's a spectacular, interactive exhibit for kids and the big kids at heart as well, just for that opening weekend.
Wow, Disney teaming up with the California State Fair. You know, that reminds me... The word California, I think it is, right there at the entrance to the state fair.
Letters.
Didn't that come from the Disney's California Adventure at one point?
Exactly. We received those letters 12 years ago from California Adventure. And so there's so many ties with Disney and the California State Fair. The monorail. You have a monorail at Disneyland. Well, we have the engineers from Disneyland come up here to help us with the monorail here at Cal Expo back in the 1960s. So when we first opened Cal Expo here in 1968.
How cool. How cool. Okay. Anything else specifically that you want to mention before we run out of time?
Yes, sir. We have a beer den. So we have something for the adults and the little ones. We have the beer den. It's brand new this year. We have craft beer that represents the six regions of California, the Bay Area, Central Coast, Central Valley, Northern California, Southern California, and here in the Sacramento Valley. So it's really cool. You buy a little, looks like a little barrel, beer barrel, and you pay $16, and you go around, and you get four different tastes. And then also we have the King Tut experience. So this is going to be a history lesson pretty much from the King Tut. We have 124 different crafted reproductions of things that happened way back when, some treasures from King Tut. So we have something for everybody, just really good fun. And where else can you go for $18? That's how much an adult ticket is for a full day of entertainment. We have eight stages. Those stages are, we have performers all day long from sun up to sundown. And remember, our hours Monday through Thursday, 4 p.m. Until 11 p.m. And then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we open at 10 a.m. So come on out, bring the family. Enjoy. We wish you were here. We don't want you to miss out on making those memories.
All right. And hopefully this is fine weather that we've had.
Oh, yes.
We'll continue all the way through the fair so people can enjoy it comfortably. Darla Gibbons with the California State Fair. Darla, thanks for joining us here on the Travel Guys.
Sounds good. I'll see you here at the fair.
You know, Mark, I forgot to ask Darla about this, but the plans are for next year to move the state fair to September.
What a terrific idea.
Yeah.
What a terrific idea. After all of these years of sweltering in the heat, doesn't that make sense to you? I mean,
tradition aside, it
seems like that people would enjoy themselves a lot more if the temperature was 85 or 90 degrees outside as opposed to 95 or 100.
Well, you know, it wasn't that many years ago that the fair always sort of coincided with the last week in September or whenever it was in September, right before all the kids went back to school. They have their summer break, September rolls around, we have the fair. Literally the weekend after the fair was over was the first day of school.
Yeah.
So...
Well, now the kids in Cordova go back to school in early August, so it's a little different.
They're all over the place. That's why they ended up changing it and so forth. So anyway, that's the word.
Next week on the Travel Guys, Chris Elliott is going to join us. He always has. He's in Japan right now. We mentioned earlier one of the hottest destinations on the planet, so Chris will give us a little bit of a rundown about Japan. And also we'll talk about travel issues of the day, try to make you a little smarter traveler. And our road reporter, Clayton Whitehead, will be back from Lithuania and the Baltic states. So I'd love to talk to him about that oftentimes overlooked destination and also talk a little bit about getting in and out of secondary countries. Primary countries and stuff, it's a little easier, a little more spelled out. Is it a little tougher going to places like the Baltics or not? And hopefully Clayton can share a little with us and make us a little smarter traveler. That's coming up next week.
All right. Hi to Clayton listening in the Baltics today. Final word, Mark.
Dance like nobody's watching, and we'll see you next Saturday at 11 o'clock.